All right, I don't need you to raise your hand this morning on this, but I want you to think about it. Have you ever been hurt by something that someone said? They didn't do anything to you, no actions, but something they said, just their words. And if you're thinking of that or several times that that's happened, if that person was a Christian, did you happen to know how much more hurtful that was to you? Now, be honest. Have you ever hurt someone just by something you said? I hope my youngest friends are listening, grade school, teenagers, because this is common to everyone. Everyone here has hurt someone else because of words, something we said. I'm not saying you said it on purpose in the sense of you wanted to hurt them. I'm not saying you maybe didn't regret it later and come back and talk about that, but we've all done it. And we grew up hearing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I think that's the silliest rhyme we ever told a kid, because words do hurt. They hurt bad. Maybe it's more like sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can break my heart. We think that they don't hurt, but sometimes they really do. Words hurt, or they can hurt. And it happens among friends, it happens in the church, it happens in families, it happens between husband and wife. Hurtful words, and sometimes they can be devastatingly discouraging. Please turn to the book of James. We're going through James together in a sermon series called Straight Talk. And this message is called 2 Ounces of Trouble. James is toward the back of your book if you're looking, or back of your Bible, if you're looking for it, or you could tap there on your screen. James is going to talk to us straight. He likes to talk straight, and he's going to talk to us straight about our words today. So remember that James is talking about people who have put their faith in Jesus. So he's assuming that you've made that decision to follow Jesus, you've confessed him as Lord. If you've never done that or you're not sure, I would love to talk to you sometime. So contact me. But our words are powerful, and James knows this. Words can be used powerfully for good, and words can be used powerfully to cause great damage. I'm going to read through the first 12 verses of chapter 3, and then we'll go back and look at some of them, not all of them, but some of them more closely. So let's read them together. James chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV today. That's what's on the screens as well. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault at what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we could turn a whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. All right, we'll stop there. James gives it to us straight here. He gives us several practical analogies, which I think it's beautiful because all of the analogies still hold up. It's almost, you know, roughly a couple of thousand years after this was written. And you might be tempted to look at the first verse and think it doesn't have anything to do about our tongues, but it's really not a separate verse. And we could have a much longer discussion on it, but I'm going to skip down to verse 2. So let's look at verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So James says it right there. We all stumble in many ways. He's including himself. He's including me. He's including you. We all stumble. We all fall short of God's glory. Even after we know Jesus, we come short sometimes, right? We all do. And then he says, if it were possible to never ever be at fault in what you say, then you would be able to control the whole rest of you, all the other things that you deal with in life. That's how powerful words are, James is showing us. Now let's look at this verse, and it's highlighted there, in what they say. In what they say, a person, in what they say. Yet none of us here, I'm including myself, we know we're not perfect in this, in what we say. We're not perfect. Think about it. If you could control what comes out of your mouth or what you write with that keyboard or what you write with a pen or a pencil, we could keep our whole selves in check. We could be people that never sinned, possibly. But we all stumble, and most often our failures as believers happen or begin when we are speaking or writing or putting out words somehow. Not all the time, not the only way to sin, but it's probably the most common. When we are around church people, the people we know, or other people that go to other churches, or around other believers, or when we're with people in the world that don't have any connection to church or God, what we say matters. Now the Greek word, you see the word control, or keep, are in check in this version, maybe control in yours. Keep it in check. The Greek word behind that means to bridle, like with a horse. You know, you put a bridle on a horse, you lead him around with that little leather thing. What's it called? Strap. I don't know. Lead. There you go. Lead. Now, Clydesdale horses, if you've ever seen them, they're huge animals. They were bred to be workhorses. They're not just for beer commercials. They look kind of cool on TV. And if you've ever been to Grant's Farm in St. Louis, if you've never heard of it, you should go. It's kind of like a zoo and history and all together. But it's free to get in if you've never been there. And take time and go look at the Clydesdales. When you see them up close, they're just beautiful animals. And again, it's free to get into this place. Here's a picture of a woman that trains Clydesdale. She looks to me to be a little taller than an average woman. But when you look at the size of these horses next to, what, 140, 150-pound woman, it's incredible. She's just got a bridle on them, and if she, you know, took that lead and started walking around, that horse is going to follow her. She's a trainer for a police department. She trains the horses for a police department somewhere. I don't remember where it is. But the point is, something very small can control something very large. And then James goes into the next verse and talks about putting a bit in a horse. Before I knew Diana, I promise, I had a girlfriend. See, that's important to get the timing right. I was like early high school, I think, early teens. Had a girlfriend, and she raised horses, and to this day, she still shows horses. That's kind of her thing, and she taught me about a bit and how it goes. She showed me how it goes into the mouth of the horse, how it works. I thought that was really fascinating. This little thing, you make this horse go wherever you want. Horses weigh a lot, and there you are riding on it, and you can just pull. I've ridden horses many times. And then James goes on to talk about ships. He gave that example about ships and how just a little rudder can make the boat go wherever the pilot wants it to go. The point he's making is that small things can sometimes control things that are much larger than themselves. They can control something huge even. And then James makes his point in verse 5, first part of verse 5 here. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. The average human tongue weighs 2 ounces. Now, I don't know what that is against your body weight. And of course, some tongues are little with a smaller person, larger person. 2 ounces. 2 ounces of trouble, sometimes. I mean, we make great boasts with our words, right? Self-promotion. Actors, that's part of their job, is self-promotion. Athletes, celebrities of some sort, politicians. Man, we like to make lots of boasts about what we've done and who we are and what we're up to. But really, it happens to regular people too. We find ourselves boasting about ourselves. If you're not on social media, congratulations, stay off of it. But for those of you that are on it, which is most of us in here, have you ever happened to see anyone boasting on social media? Sometimes it comes in very subtle ways. And it's full of boasting. Like almost all of it is boasting sometimes, it seems. And yet compared to the entire body, your tongue, 2 ounces. Now, obviously, James is using the tongue as a euphemism for our words, however they come out. My friend Danae Dwight is right here. Danae, can you come help me? All right, Danae, I thought we would demonstrate the size of a tongue compared to a body. And Danae said she would help me with this. And so, Danae, what I'd like to do is, you can stand right up here. What I'd like to do is just slice your tongue out, if you don't mind. I have a staple gun and duct tape back here. I'll put it right back on. It won't take long. No? All right, let's find a different way to demonstrate the size of a tongue. Oh, by the way, Danae, you're going to want to put a couple of these on. Those of you listening at home on the recording, you can't see the expressions on this girl's face. Danae, have you ever ridden a horse? How old are you? You're 10, right? You're 9. Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. She doesn't want to talk to me. She wants to know what's in there and what I'm going to do with it. You want two? Yeah, you better get 2 gloves just in case. Mine won't go on very easy. All right. Danae, have you ever been in this area and seen a cow? You have seen cows, yeah. Okay, we got a lot of cattle around here. How much do you think a cow weighs? About. Well, I'll tell you. I checked with a cattleman, Aaron Winger. He was just up here a while ago with his child and wife. About 1,400 pounds for a cow. Some of them can be really, you know, steers and bulls be a couple thousand pounds. Now, compared to a 1,400-pound cow, look at this. Look at that baby. Here. That's what the gloves are for. Come on. You girls want it? All right. You want it back in the box, probably. What do you think of that? That's pretty small compared to a 1,400-pound animal. Here's a picture of a cow, Danae, just in case you forgot what they look like. There's one using his tongue. Look how little his tongue is. Like that. Little tongue, he's getting a bug or something off of him there. Isn't that small compared to the whole cow? Yeah, but cows can't talk, but we can. All right. You want me to put it away? You want to sniff it or touch it? All right. All right. All right. That's all. I just wanted to show you how big a tongue is compared to a much larger animal. She's out of here. I didn't tell her what I was going to do. Now, for the rest of you, oh, Danae, look up at the screen. Did you know you can eat cow tongue? Look at that. There's some cow tongue all sliced up and cooked. We are having a dinner after church. And so if any of you know how to cook cow tongue, I've kept it cold. It's not bad or anything. You can have that after church and take her down and fry her up or however you cook cow tongue. I don't know. And Danae, that little cow tongue is about 0.2% of the whole cow by weight. That tongue weighs 2-3 pounds. And for us, it's about 0.5%. That's a tiny, tiny thing, James tells us. Now, let's go back to verse 5a again, the first part of 5. Such a small part of our bodies can cause so much trouble, so much heartache. And we've all experienced this because of words, just words. Wars have been started between countries over words, or even within a country. Divorces have taken place over words. Church splits have happened because of words. Estrangements from friends or family have happened because someone said something hurtful to someone else. I really encourage you to go back and read all of these verses later, all 12 verses of James chapter 3. But you'll find, if you go back and read it and you hit verse 6, that the tongue can corrupt the entire body. And that the hurtful and wrong things that we say, so we're saying something hurtful to someone else, the Bible teaches us that that comes from hell itself. Satan is trying to use you for his purposes when you speak like that to someone else. Now for now, you can read that later, but for now go down to verse 7. Let's look at 7 and 8 together. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. James doesn't hold back, does he? No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Let's go back and highlight verse 8. Look at verse 8. No human being can tame the tongue. Nobody. He's including himself. He's including me. He's including you. James is reminding us that we, by ourselves, cannot bring our words under control. God is the only one who can transform us into his original image by his grace and his mercy. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit can you even hope to bring your tongue under control. Now, I don't really find that discouraging. It could be kind of discouraging at first, but it reminds me that when I try to do something, in this case, control my words, what I say, what I write, and I try to just, okay, I recognize I've not been doing so good lately, so I'm turning over a new leaf and I'm going to really try. By about Wednesday or Thursday, I'm probably going to mess up again if I'm doing it on my own. But James is talking straight about it. He's calling us to deal with it. You need to deal with this. We need to admit it. We need to bring it to God. God is the only one that can help us with it. So then James tells us why this is so important to understand, why it is important in the kingdom, why it is important to the mission God has called us to, why it is so vital as we seek to reach, teach, and serve in Jesus' name. You can find it in verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. This is our key verse today. I want you to really remember that verse. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. I told you a story a few weeks ago, if you were here, about when I was a substitute teacher and I had a kid out on the playground and I got aggravated with him and God convicted me. I didn't like anything about that kid. He was one of the most impossible, defiant people I have ever encountered in my life. But that does not change the fact that that boy was made in the image of God. And whatever political figure you love to hate and make fun of, that man, that woman was made in God's image. And as distasteful as it is to think about, the people that make up the Taliban, who are doing such evil, awful things, those people are made in the image of God. That guy that you know that just lives off government handouts, doesn't take care of his family, his wife has to work, he doesn't do anything, made in God's image. The kid that you, it's the first week of school for most of you, that kid you made fun of at school just because they're different, made in God's image. That awful boss, he's unreasonable, he's terrible. He was made in God's image. Greedy family member, causing trouble in your family, still made in God's image. And I'm not excusing bad behavior. I'm not excusing sinful behavior. And I don't think you should either. What I am saying, because the Word of God is saying it, is that all people are made in the image of God. They are all His creation. And he wants everyone made in his image, he wants them to know him and accept his free offer of salvation. Well, just a few minutes ago, before I came up here, we sang some worship songs, sang praises to God, and we'll sing another one in a few minutes. Now, do you remember singing these words? Okay, see if you can remember this. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Yes, God, you are the one we praise. You're the one we adore. You're the one that gives us healing and grace. Okay, you remember that just a few minutes ago? Now, think back over the last week, last month, whatever it was. Do you also remember that biting response, say, to an email that was sent to you and you needed to tell them what you thought? Do you remember that smart aleck post on social media? You either posted or responded to someone else's. Okay, how about that harsh comment to your spouse? You remember that? How about that harsh comment to your child, or one of your children? Or the way that you talked with your friends about that teacher that you don't like very much? Well, here's what James has to say about this. He's saying this to all of us. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. He goes on in the next couple of verses to give us some very obvious examples of things that cannot go together, such as a spring can't push out salt water and fresh water at the same time. You're not going to grow a fig tree and expect it to have olives coming off of it. You don't have a grapevine and expect to have figs coming from that. So if we say we are followers of Jesus and we want to praise him with our words, we want to praise him with our lives, but then we turn around and curse other people, we say terrible things about them or to them, let's highlight that part of the verse. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. This should not be. Praising God in one moment and cutting other people down in a different moment, whether it's to their face or not. Gossiping, talking bad about someone you disagree with. James says, this should not be. Not among God's people, but it still happens. Yes, right? Am I the only one? Am I preaching to only me today? It happens to all of us. What comes out of your mouth? It's kind of a hard story for me to think about and for all of us to hear, but it's a true story. Someone wrote me a long time ago, well, not a long time ago, a couple years ago, and they don't go to this church, but they used to for a long time. And they told me a story about some very, very harsh words that were spoken to them, and they did not come back, and they're still not back, and they're not going to come back because of words spoken to them. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't hear the other side of the story. I get that. But from that person's perspective, they were hurt so deeply by these words that they left a church that they had been part of for a very long time. So this applies to all of us. Because there's not a person in this room, including me, that has not totally tamed our tongues. None of us have mastered this yet. Now, I've grown tremendously with the help of the Holy Spirit in this area, but I still have more to learn. I still have more to bring under the power of the Holy Spirit. So I hope that you recognize it as a problem. And I hope that you don't recognize it as a problem as the person sitting next to you or the person across the room or upstairs, downstairs. We're talking about you and God. I want to give you something very practical that you can do. You can start doing it today. It's very doable. It's not easy necessarily, especially at first, but it is doable. And again, you can start practicing this on the way home from church if you want to today. So when tough words come your way, you don't retaliate. You don't give them back. Even if they're talking about someone else, you just don't respond to it. In person, online, anywhere else. Now, the words that may come your way hurt, or the words may hurt that come your way. And sometimes words can cause deep feelings of anger, and that's a normal response. I understand that. But remember, you can talk to God about that. You could tell him you're angry. You could tell him how you're feeling. And remember that God can forgive you and forgive that other person. He's in the business of transforming us, transforming our minds, our lives. But to that person who said it, you don't retaliate. You don't go on the comment box. You don't, you know, make another post. You don't do one of those posts. It's like to somebody else, but you don't say their name, and you know, you hopefully they'll see it, and you're talking to them, but you didn't say you were talking to them. So you don't give it back to them, even if you want to. Now, very quickly, I'm going to go through these very fast, but you may want to write these references down. Here's some scriptures that can help you to start thinking like this, all right? Really quick, might want to jot them down. Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Proverbs 10:19, second part of the verse, the prudent hold their tongues. And finally, Luke 6:28, this is Jesus speaking, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. When's the last time you blessed someone who said something terrible or someone that mistreated you and you prayed for them? My experience, my personal experience as a follower of Jesus, when I practice that, when I practice not, you know, giving it back, I then tend not to speak careless words of my own as much. I'm not claiming perfection, and I never will. But when I show that restraint, I notice, well, I'm not giving it out as much in general as well. And I know this is not easy sometimes. Man, there's some things I want to say so bad, but it's not the right thing to say. So it's not easy, but we are to read the Bible and do what it says, and that includes this. And remember, don't get discouraged if this is, you know, kind of a struggle for you and you know you need to grow in this area. The Holy Spirit is there. He is ready to help you. Because again, you and I can't do this on our own, but we call on the Holy Spirit. He will help us. So call on him. And let's look at verse 10 one more time. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. Please understand that your words, whether they are written, spoken, wherever, your words affect the kingdom. And your words affect the lost that need to know Jesus. So as you think about what you say with your mouth or write on your keyboard or with pen and paper, and you realize as we've looked at these verses today, and you think, you know, yeah, God's convicting me. This is kind of describing me. Well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about your 2 ounces of trouble? I'm going to pray for us. The worship team will then lead us in our final song. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, first of all. Even when we fall short, even after we know you and we know better. Lord, we thank you for this tough talk from James. And I pray, Lord, that we would seek to bring our words, our speech, the written word under your control. And Father, as we sing this final song, I pray that you would give us insight into what you want to say to us individually. Church, as you think about these things, we just stay in prayer for a moment. Please remember the grace of God if you are being convicted. He loves you. Conviction is there because he loves you. So I hope you'll pay attention to this song, to what it's saying, and praise God with it. May we always be praising God and never be cursing those made in his own image. Help us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.